I do give you all a warm welcome to this midweek meeting. Those of you who have gathered here in the hall and those of you who are joining us via the live stream. May again the Lord richly bless us as we worship him tonight, as we turn to the word, and later as we turn to him in prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 102, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." Let us stand for prayer. Almighty and ever blessed God, as we make our petitions this evening now, as we bring our thanksgivings, may our prayer be heard. O Lord, we come to thee. We come to thee, thou art a prayer answering God. We will come in expectation, and we will come mindful of thy will. Thy will be done in heaven and on earth, O Lord. We come now, O Lord, we confess our latest sins, even at this day, O Lord. Cleanse us afresh, O Lord. We thank thee that thou art faithful to forgive our sin if we confess. And, O Lord, we confess the sins we know we have done. And we would also ask for the forgiveness, and we would confess the sins we're not aware of, even at this day. Remember us in thy mercy. Bless us through thy beloved Son, and may the Holy Spirit assist within. Bless the word to our hearts. Help us, we pray. And later, as we turn to thee in prayer, we draw near to thee. Blessed One, draw near to us this evening now. Favour us in thy grace, surround us in thy love, and support us in thy mercy. Bless thy word now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our first praise, Psalm 132. Psalm 132, and we're singing from verse 13 through to verse 18. And the tune is St. Thomas, Psalm 132, and we'll commence the praise at verse 13. For God of Zion hath made choice, where he desires to dwell. This is my rest, here still I'll stay, for I do like it well. The tune is St. Thomas, Psalm 132, and we'll commence the praise at verse 13.
For God of Zion hath made choice, and he is in hand to dwell. Is in my rest, here still I stay.
Yeah.
you would turn with me tonight to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and we'll read through verse 9. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy, and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl, his belly as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. For a few moments tonight, before we turn to the Lord in prayer, I'd like us to note those words in verse 16, particularly, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. The congregation, on the road, two friends were talking as they made their way towards Emmaus. It was the day of resurrection on which our Lord rose victoriously from the grave. What rejoicing there was in heaven. However, those two were sad. Well, as they made their way, a very special friend was touched and drew nigh. We read in Luke 24, verse 15, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And as they walked along the road, our Lord opened up the scriptures to them. And in doing so, he came to the Song of Solomon. And as we know in Luke 24, our Lord made plain that in all the scriptures, and thus in the Song of Solomon, there were those things concerning himself. Well, with that in mind, bearing in mind our Lord preached through the Song of Solomon on the road to Emmaus, we can say without any shadow of doubt tonight, this is my beloved. And this is my friend. Our Lord would have us know that he is the beloved friend here in our text tonight. My friend is Jesus. And what a blessing we who can say these words tonight. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. I think of him, the beloved one, who is my friend, and I meditate upon him, but also I make him known. My friend is Jesus. Without any shadow of doubt, we come to consider the Lord tonight. Psalm 45, which is full of Christ, is the key to unlock the Song of Solomon. In your own time, read Psalm 45, and then Hebrews 1 and verse 2, and you'll see there Christ. Well, as you read Psalm 45, you see so many similarities to the Song of Solomon. This is my beloved then, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is my friend. And I'd like us tonight just to note particularly these words, this is my friend, and consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the best of friends. He is our greatest friend, and we're so privileged to own him this evening now. This is my friend. Let's consider first of all, he is the friend of sinners. And are we not thankful for that? He is the friend of sinners. Now we read in Luke 15 verse 2 these words, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. There was murmuring. a complaining, literally to complain throughout a crowd. They were murmuring amongst themselves and they were going and they were murmuring to others. They had a murmuring spirit. Certain ones murmured when our Lord went to the house of Zacchaeus. We're told in Luke 19 verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. They murmured that our Lord went to the home of Zacchaeus. Returning to Luke 15 verse 2, the murmuring was, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I have no complaint that Christ came to dine with me. I'm so thankful. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Our beloved friend is the friend of sinners, and we're so thankful because we're sinners. And he drew near. He went after that which was lost, and he came, and he saw us in the state we were in. Yet he did not turn away. He received us. This man receiveth sinners. You think of the word receiveth there, it means to admit, to accept, to admit into one's company. And the Lord admitted us. How amazing. He who is so holy admitted us. What favour towards us. What grace that he should receive us. A group of children who are friends sees one come along. And they admit them. Oh, what a beloved friend we have, who admitted us. He did not turn us away. All that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He didn't turn us away, did he? We are sinners, we still are, but he did not turn us away. Let us not lose the wonder of this. He's so pure, and we consider our unworthiness and our sin. How amazing then that Jesus admitted us. This is my friend. He's the friend of sinners. And so when we present Christ, we can speak from the heart. If you believe in him, he will receive you. He won't turn you away because he's the friend of sinners. Let's consider secondly, the believer's friend. This is my friend. The believer is speaking here. Through grace, one has been found at the feet of Jesus, feeling their sin and their unworthiness, yet they're looking, they're believing. Song of Solomon 2 verse 16, my beloved is mine and I am his, my beloved. What a blessing when we were drawn to Christ and found ourselves at his feet. We felt our sin and unworthiness, but we were looking to Jesus. And we who have faith, we look to him now. He's my friend. My beloved is mine. Mine, mine, mine. Jesus is mine. My beloved, this is my friend. What a privilege to speak of our best friend, our greatest friend, the one we are in union with, my friend. He belongs to us, that's amazing, isn't it? My beloved is mine. Who do you have in your life? The Saviour, he whose name is wonderful, he who is the Prince of Peace, he who is the Redeemer, the Shepherd, the great friend. He's in your life. And he belongs to you. Are we not blessed that we belong to him? But oh, consider this in amazement. He belongs to us. There's union with him. As we think of union with Christ, the Spirit entered and faith was put within. What a blessed union. And as a result of the Spirit entering and putting faith within, Christ is found within. Remember those words in Ephesians 3 verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He dwells in our hearts. He's in heaven. His immediate presence is there. He's in the gatherings of the saints where two or three are gathered, and he's also in a spiritual way in our hearts. Oh, to remember it. Oh, to think more often of the union and that Christ dwells within. Oh, to think more, that will help us, won't it? It will help us as we live in this world to remember that Christ is within. He came to us. The Spirit entered, put faith, and Christ through the Spirit was found in the soul. This is James Fisher speaking of Christ. By coming into the soul as to that happy moment. Before, he was not there. But then he was found in the soul. Now some cannot remember the precise time, but the Lord knows. And that's what particularly matters, isn't it? There was a moment he was not there, but then he came. The Spirit entered, and there's union, and we can say of him, my friend. We're believing, he is the believer's friend. Thirdly, a precious friend. And do not we see that in this fifth chapter? Just notice verse 9. It begins this great and wonderful description of Christ. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. If we were to see 10,000 men, Christ would excel them all in the beauty of his person, the glory of his excellency, and the preciousness of his love. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is of most fine gold, and locks are bushy and black as a raven. What does that speak of? His royal beauty. He's the King of Kings, which wears the crown of purest gold. Oh, we've been brought to his feet, the feet of the King. And we've looked up to him by faith, and we've discovered again and again he is altogether lovely. Verse 16, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. Here's the believer, here's the church, looking at the mouth of Christ. Why? Because of the words that come forth from the lips of Christ. The gracious words, Psalm 45. His mouth is most sweet, how he speaks to us, how he then embraces us. Yea, he is altogether lovely. We have this description of Christ in the second half of the chapter. And there's nothing to disappoint us, is there? No disappointments with our friend. You can be disappointed with an earthly friend. They can let you down. No disappointments with Christ. Disappointments with myself. Disappointments with others, you may say. But not with Christ. Yea, he is altogether lovely. You've never been disappointed with him, have you? You've never been turned away. No. He's altogether lovely. Oh, just think of who he is. He's altogether lovely. Your friend, your saviour. Think of his graces, his excellencies. Think of his kindness, love and mercy. So precious. Consider how he cares, as we will note in a moment. So precious. He's the precious friend. We consider him as God, his glorious beauty, your excellency of being God. And then the inward beauty of him as well as man. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Just come with me to verse 12. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters. His eyes! You know, you could look at someone. And you look at their eyes. Sometimes you can tell certain things from their eyes, if they're not happy. You look at the eyes of Christ spiritually, such love flows forth, such kindness is seen. His eyes, His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set, so precious. Oh, consider the meekness in Christ, the loveliness of Christ in his eyes. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Lovely. What does it mean there in verse 16? Delightful, pleasant, object of desire. And Christ is delightful, isn't he? Oh, consider how he dines with you. And when your heart is stirred, it's so precious, isn't it? It's delightful to be in fellowship, in communion with Christ, at union. And there's delightful communion when he speaks to us. He's the object of desire. His desire, as we see in the Song of Solomon, is towards us, as a husband has a desire towards his wife. Oh, consider the desire we have towards Jesus. Do you not long for more of him? We desire to long no more of Christ. The object of desire. Oh, we look to, we're found again and again unto returning to Jesus. I remember when I was in Sunday school many years ago, we used to say these words, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, let's do it again and again in our lives. Turn our eyes and catch his eyes. He is the object of desire, altogether lovely. How he comes and touches the heart. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Here's the church, here's the believer, the focus. The heart has been touched. How he touches our heart. None of a friend so touches the heart as Christ does. Listen to Samuel Rutherford. Since he looked upon me, my heart is not my own. He hath run away to heaven with it. And that's why we're found praying, isn't it? That's why we're found looking up. Because we know the Lord is there. And he has our heart. We're exhorted in Colossians to set our affections on things above, not on us. And we find ourselves turning to Jesus, who is in heaven. Our affections arise to our precious friend. Fourthly, a loving friend. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. A true friend loveth at all times, we're told. Well, Christ loves at all times. He's loving us now. When we're not thinking of him, he's loving us. His eyes are upon us. He's a loving friend. My beloved, the loved one of my soul. We refer to certain ones as beloved. A husband speaks of his wife, a wife speaks of her husband, maybe a family member, a child, beloved. But all then we consider Jesus. My beloved. Oh, let's spend a little time focusing on his love. Ephesians 3 verse 16, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know. We've known a little of that which we will never get to the end of. We'll never get to the end of his love in eternity. It's so great. But we want to know more, don't we? The love of our friend. We've appreciated his love in times past. So lovingly he has come to us in times of difficulty. We want to know more, don't we? Not just in times of difficulty, but also in the green pastures. We desire to be sitting down in the green pastures, basking in view of the love of Christ, in his love. Oh, how he loves us now. He has loved us with an everlasting love. That's amazing, isn't it? He's always loved us. We're friends here, aren't we? Some of us have known each other for a long time, but there was a beginning, not so many years ago. Oh, consider Christ. He has loved us with an everlasting love. And a great love, John 15 verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What love! What love that he came into this world. What love for us that he was laid in the manger. What love that he wept with Joseph as a carpenter's son. How he used the saw. What love that he went around preaching though he was opposed. What love that he would find himself in great agony. What love that he went all the way to the cross for us and gave his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is the evidence of great love. Your Saviour, your friend, cried and gave up the ghost because he loved you. Love to the end, that is his death. What do we read in John 13 verse 1? Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Our Lord was aware his death was fast approaching, and his sorrows were deepening. He was so aware of the wrath that was so climax upon him at Calvary, yet he so was thinking of you. Just think of it. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At the same time he was loving you. He would cry, it is finished. He was about to die. He was loving you. And the moment before he gave up the ghost, he was loving you. And the next moment, he was still loving you. And he's still loving you now. His love is an eternal love. He will always love you. John Owen writes of being lost in a holy amazement at his unspeakable love. What a loving friend I have in Jesus. He's loving me now. He still loves me when I fail him. He loves me when I sin against him. What a friend he is. What a loving friend. No wonder we read in chapter 1 verse 2 of the Song of Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. So lasting, so lingering is the love of Christ, so precious is the love of Christ. Such an influence upon us is the love of Christ. Let him kiss me. I want to know more of his love. More and more of it. I'm so thankful for the love I have known in my life. In that initial way when he drew near to me. And I was aware of his love. And on subsequent times, on the Lord's days, in the weeks, in my quiet times, in times of difficulty, I'm thankful for his love. I want more though. I want more of the love of Christ. Let him kiss me. Come and embrace me tonight, tomorrow, every day of my life. And then kiss me forever. Because I so love thee and desire more of thy love. And he will kiss us forever. He will answer our prayer. He will keep coming. And manifesting more of his love. When one gives a kiss, there's love. Oh, he will manifest his love again and again to us. And then throughout all eternity, we'll just be embraced by Jesus. Such is his love. Fifthly, a close friend. Proverbs 18 verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A close friend, my beloved. He's not someone afar off, is he? He's not someone we just read of but don't know. He's close to us, isn't he? And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A man can be of help. However, we read of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So close is Jesus. And as you think of Jesus tonight, you can say, he's closer to me than anyone else in this room. I have great friends, loving friends in the room, that Jesus is closer. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is. He's alive now. And he's in our heart. He's a close friend. He adheres. Closer than a brother. He adheres. He will never totally depart. No, he adheres. There is that closeness. In eternity he fought on the bride. The bride he so loved. He gave his life for his bride, his people. And in the time of love, he drew so near to the elect sinner and united himself through the Spirit and faith. Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's closeness, isn't it? And are we not thankful Jesus is always looking on for closeness? Even if we don't feel the closeness, even if we don't sense him, he's looking on the closeness. They're mine, and I dwell in their hearts. What can the believer say in Galatians 2 verse 20? Christ liveth in me. He lives within. That's how close, isn't it? He's in my heart, he's in my soul. Oh, to think more of it. What a wonderful testimony. There is union. John 15 verse 5, I am the vine, ye the branches. The branches aren't at a great distance, are they? No, they're united to the vine. There's closeness. Oh, I present to you your friend. He's a close friend. The closest friend you have in life and the closest friend you will have in eternity, and that's why you'll be drawn again and again to him. What a blessed eternity. Spending time with other brothers and sisters in Christ, so joyful we shall be. There'll be no tears, there'll be such happiness and blessing, but we will be drawn to Christ most of all. We'll look at each other in heaven, but our eyes will keep turning to Jesus. Because he is the closest one. He's a close acquaintance. A close friend to the believer. Let's just open this up a little more as we think of his closeness. He's the close friend. He's there for the people of God. He's there for us. He's there for you. You may have a good friend, but they go around the other side of the world. And though they may be able to text you, send you a WhatsApp message in this era, they can't get to you quickly, can they? And you can't just go and see them, can they? They're on the other side of the world. Consider Jesus, he's always there for you. Just a prayer of it. You can just talk to him now. You know, it's good to talk to Jesus in the sermons, isn't it? How often do we do that? As we hear the word, just talk to him. Just a prayer away. He's there for them. He's there for us. He's there for you. He has such a heart. You can rely on him. He has such a heart and he's there. He's a close acquaintance. Consider how he is near and he sympathizes. He knows you better than anyone else. Tonight. That's humbling, isn't it? But it's also greatly comforting. And so your close friend has the greatest heart of sympathy. He's always touched first because he's the closest one. And he knows. Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched for the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched. He fills the earth. First of all, and he fills for you in a way far above anyone else. Such a sympathizing high priest. He tenderly looks on. His people are the apple of his eye. He sympathizes straight away, for he is that close friend. You may at times feel on your own. You can't contact someone, maybe you're busy at work. You can't contact someone straight away, but you're struggling. Your close friend's already touched, and he's there for you. Simply, a caring friend. This is my friend. Such a caring friend, isn't he? You see that in the Song of Solomon, how he so cares. Turn with me to the second chapter in verse 6. His left hand is under my head. The support's there. He's supporting us because he so cares. And his right hand doth embrace me. There's times when the believer may have doubts in their hearts. Christ comes and he seeks to assure them. He draws them near because he so cares. Your friend so cares for you at this moment. He cares for you so very much. He's that faithful friend who will always look on and care for you. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He's so faithful, so caring. We can share it all with Jesus, can't we? We can. Some things we keep back from others, but we don't have to keep back anything from Jesus. He so cares. He knows our weakness, our concerns. Take it to him then. If there's something on your mind, tell him now. You don't have to wait to the prayer meeting. He's waiting now because he so cares. A caring friend, casting all your care, you cast it on him. Commit thy way, or roll it upon him. Psalm 37. He so cares for you. He has such a concern. He was so concerned for you in eternity past. He agreed that the help we needed was laid on him. And so he came. He accomplished redemption because he so cared for you. And he cares for you now. He has such a care for you. He will come to you and help you. Suddenly, a listening friend. A listening friend. Now he speaks to us. We see that in verse 16. Song of Solomon 5 and verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. His mouth is most sweet. He speaks to us. Yes, we can think of his loving embrace, but particularly we consider that he speaks to us. And how he speaks to us. He's the consolation of Israel. He consoles, and therefore we know comfort in the soul. Now as he comes to console, not only does he speak to us, but he's there listening to us. He knows what we're going through, but he wants to hear us. So then he will console us further. He will speak to us, but he also will listen. I read a book a few years ago, a good friend is known most of all for listening. A good friend is known most of all for listening. A certain man phoned me a number of years ago, and he talked and he talked and he talked. And I couldn't get one word in. I wanted to say something, but when I tried to, he just carried on talking. He wouldn't listen. A good friend listens. He's the most excellent friend, our Saviour. Because he listens, he speaks to us, and we're so thankful. We're found like Mary at the feet of Jesus, looking up in wonder and amazement. We're so thankful when we feel the words being applied to our soul. But he pauses. Now it's time. Song of Solomon 2 verse 14. Let me hear thy voice. What a friend. He speaks. He directs. He consoles. Then he's there to listen. Let me hear thy voice. He is the listening friend. So you can go and unburden your soul to him. You can tell him your concerns. He knows. But he wants to hear you telling him. And so he will pause to listen. You can tell him your trouble. You can tell him what's on your mind. He knows. But you go and tell him what's on your mind, what's bothering you, what's upsetting you. Go to your friend, he listens. One of old wrote, Jesus, Saviour, comfort me. Draw thy weary child to thee. Thou my rock, my strength, my all, loving Saviour, hear my call. You go, believing he will listen. He will hear. Now consider if he comes to dine, as we see in Revelation chapter 3. Dining. He dines with us and we sup with him. Let me say this very carefully. It is not just him doing the talking. We get down on our knees, do we not, and we praise him and we thank him. We get down on our knees with tears and we tell him what's on our heart. Let me hear thy voice, says Jesus to you. Your great friend says, let me hear thy voice, and let's go. Go and tell Jesus. He's a close friend. Go and speak to him because he's listening. Oh, to go more often and speak to him. Charles Bridge commenting on this verse writes, cultivate a closer acquaintance to him. You go and talk to him then. Just consider the wonder of this. As we think that he is the listening friend, we grieve him, we fail him, we sin against him, yet he's waiting for us. And when we say sorry, he will lift up the light of his countenance and so embrace you and me in his arms. He's listening. We've strayed, we failed him, but he's waiting. And he knows in time his people, because of the work of the Holy Spirit applying the word, will turn and say sorry. And then he'll lift up the light of his countenance. He's the listening friend. Just on that point, we've done something wrong today. He's waiting. He's waiting to hear. Eighthly, finally, a lasting friend. This is my friend, we say tonight, and we can say it tomorrow, and we can say it in eternity. This is my friend. In Romans 8, verse 38, we read, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. And we're persuaded, are we not, when we look to the Lord and his word? Death will not separate. Life, nothing in life. No height, no mountain of difficulty, no deep valley of distress. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. We're in union with Christ tonight, and we will be in union with Christ all our days. We will be in union with Christ in the valley. We will be in union with Christ in the moment of death, when our soul and our body separate. And we'll be in union with Christ the moment after that. Nothing will separate us. So he's a lasting friend. This is my friend tonight. This is my friend forever. Others may leave. And I'm sure you can think of certain ones. You thought they were friends. But there came a certain time and they wouldn't listen to the good advice. And they left you. I used to have a friend called David at school. We used to play cricket together. We used to play in the playground. We did our exams. And I've only seen him once after I'd left school. And that was at a distance. He was cycling his bike the other way. Friends leave us. Friends disappoint us. Friends let us down. Friends hurt us. Not Jesus. Others may leave, but Jesus sticks fast. Dear young people, you may in your life have certain ones that leave you. You thought they were a friend, but no more they went with you. But I can assure you, Jesus will stick fast with you. Our Lord will never depart. Hebrews 13 verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will, says the Lord. And he says it with clarity and authority. I will never leave thee. We may sin against him. We must humbly seek forgiveness. But he'll never leave us. Nor forsake us. He won't leave us in the trial. And he won't turn his back on us. He will not forsake the believer when they are in the storm and at their wit's end. He will not forsake you in the hour of temptation when the devil hurls a barrage of arrows against you. He will not even leave you when you wander from him. The union will never be broken. He will be there for you when you are sinking and when you are struggling. He will be there for you and will not leave you when all you can do is groan in your prayer time. Sometimes our groans have been more precious to the Lord than a prayer when we've not really been thinking too much. He will always be there. Such a friend he is. He will be there for you tomorrow so you can face tomorrow. He will be there for you in the valley to come when you so need him. He will be there even if you don't sense him. He will be there at the end of the journey. He's there with you through the experiences of life. Good and bad. Dark and bright. He'll be there with you in the valley. You may not sense him for a while, but he'll be there and he'll make himself known. And then at the end, you'll see him. You'll see your friend. He's a lasting friend. He'll always be near and united to you. Spurgeon wrote, this loving, living, lasting union, which we have found already to be such a glorious reality, is to last forever and ever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My friend! And we'll always be able to say it. My friend. We don't deserve him. But we'll always be able to say it. You'll find your friend in heaven. And then on the great day when the judge comes, you'll look at the judge. Ah, oh, it's my friend, my saviour. The sentences will be pronounced. And you'll be lost in wonder, love and praise. The sentences then will be executed and you will go into the heavenly world and your friend will be there with you forever and ever. A few years ago, the Reverend William McLeod sat one of my daughters on his lap a few years ago and he read this book. And the end of the book ended like this. Forever, forever and ever. And ever, and ever, you're going to be with your friend forever. What you have known of your friend so far is so minute compared to what you're going to know of him in the future. He's always going to be your friend. And you always in heaven, then in Emmanuel's land, be so happy in the presence of your best friend and greatest friend, the most loving friend. Always happy in the presence of Jesus till heaven. Or to get closer to Jesus. That's what we want, isn't it? Because we've benefited much through our friend. And we know the blessing that he gives to us. And the help he supplies and the comfort he brings and the support all get closer to Jesus. This is my beloved and this is my friend. In closing, notice the believer is speaking. This is my beloved. This is my friend. The believer is thinking about Jesus, but the believer is telling others. Let's speak more often of Jesus till we see him. In our families, in the church, but then also to others, This is my friend. And let others know by the way you live, by the way you speak, you have the greatest friend in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we are amazed to know the Saviour. We are so thankful, Lord Jesus, thou art our greatest friend. And thou hast loved us from everlasting, and thou wilt love us forever. And we are privileged that we, though there was a beginning to our love, we will love thee forever. And we will always bask in thy love in Emmanuel's land. We will always be happy in thy presence. Oh, what a friend thou art. Lord, it is the desire of our hearts to get to know thee better, Lord, here upon earth, in preparation of heaven. Oh, Lord, we thank thee. Eternity is too short to get to know thee fully, for thou art so wonderful. O Lord, we thank thee, we are going to be with thee forever. Soon we will be there. O Lord, we look forward to being with thee, but we thank thee that thou dost see us and thou dost know that thou dost dwell in our hearts. O, we thank thee that thou art the close friend. O, for a closer acquaintance with thee. Help us, O Lord, to think more of thee. Help us to pause more often in the day, just for a moment or two maybe, just to think about thee, just to rest in thee, just to unburden our soul to thee, Lord. Oh, what a friend thou art, that we can go and tell thee, Lord Jesus, what's on our hearts. We thank thee that thou would never forsake us nor leave us. Thou would never let us down. Thou would never disappoint us. Lord, we are amazed because we let thee down, we fell thee, but thou wilt never forsake. O Lord, hear us, we pray. Draw near to us. And we pray that many more in this world would be brought to the feet of Jesus and would own him as friend. O Lord, hear us, we pray. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's have our second praise. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him and blessed. All nations shall him call. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19.
His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him and blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you.